Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James Gunn. Once again, by my co-host Cody, all the way from Texas.
All the way from Texas.
How you doing today, Cody?
I'm freaking tired. first full day of work, kicked my butt in a good way. It was just long. Just a lot of stuff going on. Doing some satellite installs and, you know, troubleshooting. And then you realize that there's a problem and then it's another problem. And then it's, you know all about it. It's just like Best Buy home theater installs.
Sure do.
So it's a great time. It's a great time. We actually had a Best Buy install that we didn't mess around with what they did today, but we're like, we can't do this because we didn't install it. It's not our product. So you have to call Best Buy. So
that's the smart way of staying out of it.
Absolutely. How are you, James?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm starting my 4-day weekend.
There you go.
So yeah.
Enjoy.
Have some cold ones after this podcast.
I bet you I'll be in bed. I will literally post this and go to sleep.
I would have done it hours ago, but stayed sober for the pod, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sober pod.
Don't be sloppy.
With that being said, I was going to make a weird transition there. I'm not going to do it. shout out to Josh Perry, a good friend of the pod,
yes,
for commenting and being active on YouTube. Well, and sharing the YouTube, quite frankly, and yeah, making sure to get us out there for his friends and everyone on Facebook to see. So thank you, Josh Perry. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah. He went as far as to demand that people follow, share, and like our podcast. I appreciate it very much, Josh. We did actually see a few new subscribers since your demand. So keep that stuff up, my man. Nice work.
With that being said, it's time to move on to Steelers news. So starting off, Steelers did waive cornerback Mark Gilbert from the practice squad. This was a guy that we talked a lot about in the past two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Mark Gilbert's been there for two seasons, kind of just riding that practice squad. And then they also re-signed a wide receiver, James.
Yeah, Jakari Roberson back on the team after only being on the team for like a week, then getting cut. And
he's back.
Now he's back, and you kind of wonder, is there anything going on that we don't know about in the wide receiver room that you need another wide receiver? Doesn't seem like there's anything going on in the cornerback room.
Yeah.
Because now you're down another guy. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed because I thought Gilbert might have been a developmental guy.
Yeah.
So we'll see. He, you know, for all I know, he gets signed back next week, and they bounce Roberson back off again, and this could be one of those things like what they did to the kicker, long snapper, and punter last year, constantly getting off and on and off and on and on all year long with the roster on the practice squad. So we'll see. Maybe it's nothing to look into, but I would rather see some developmental guys, and I was hoping that Gilbert could be one. So a little bit of a bummer for me, but what's not a bummer is seeing a nice long list of Steelers on the original list here for the nominees for the 2023 NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pretty nice list there going on.
We do like that. We like that a lot. Six Steelers on this list, like you said. Hines Ward, somebody who should have been in the Hall of Fame by now. We're not going to go into that. Casey Hampton, the monster nose tackle. Great guy. Chad Brown is also on this list. James Ferrier, one of the Steelers' phenomenal middle linebacker guys. James Harrison. The man who I think still has the longest touchdown in Super Bowl history, or is it Devin
Hester? Defensive, at least.
Defensive, for sure, yeah. The pick six.
Yeah, because it was a 99-yard play, so you can't have anything longer than that.
That's true, unless it's a kickoff or punt return from inside the end zone. True. And then also Gary Anderson on this list as well. So a full list of Steelers names on here. Again, Pittsburgh's been pretty involved in the Hall of Fame class the past few years. I'd love to see us continue on the trend and get two or three of these guys in here. Again, for me, Hines Ward, Casey Hampton, James Harrison are all guys that I would think could easily go in. Chad Brown, I'd know a little bit less about, and the same with Gary Anderson. But James Ferrier, also, I wouldn't classify him as a first ballot Hall of Fame. I believe this is his first time up. Is it not? I could be wrong.
I think of this list, James Harrison is the only first time ballot guy.
Okay.
So the other ones have been at least on the original nominee list previously.
If they put you in for quote unquote dirty hits, James Harrison is in because everyone calls him dirty. So man was an animal. Well,
on the plus side for James, I think he has more Pro Bowls than probably the rest of these guys combined.
Yeah.
So I think Harrison's got a pretty good shot of making it in and probably the best chance of all of these guys. possibly Gary Anderson as a experienced contributor kind of guy, like they did with Donnie Shell, because Gary did have an excellent career as a kicker back when he was a Steeler back in his day. Chad Brown, little known fact, he had like 400 pet snakes.
400
you're into snakes. That was that was Chad's thing. He was a real good middle linebacker. I think he was like a 2-time Pro Bowler too.
Okay, fun.
On to less snake type news, but also sneaky. Turns out DeMonte KZ is getting a 3-game suspension, violating the substance abuse policy. Unfortunately, it means he got tested positive for something that's not allowed, which he is in the middle of rehabbing from a pretty serious wrist injury. So there's a chance that he was just reckless and got a little too aggressive with something in an attempt to recover quicker. Yeah. The only nice thing about that is when you're on the injured reserve, the games you miss while under suspension actually count. So he can serve his entire 3-game suspension while on the injured reserve, and it doesn't affect Pittsburgh in any way.
There we go. That's
honestly, as bad as that wrist injury looked, I don't think he was going to be back in the next 3 weeks anyway. So
that's fair.
Essentially does not affect Pittsburgh in any way other than whatever fines that DeMonte has for it.
That is fair. Yeah, okay. Moving on from that, speaking of the defensive back room, and especially with the Browns-Steelers game coming up, a player that played for both Browns and Steelers and as a defensive back in the cornerback room, Joe Haden announced his retirement. And James, we actually have a tweet that's saying specifically
that he is retiring as a Brown.
Boo.
That's right. I just put a frown face next to it on my notepad here. I mean, he did have 7 years with the Browns, only 5 with the Steelers. He had 2 Pro Bowls with the Browns, 1 with the Steelers, in like twice as many pass deflections with the Browns as he did with the Steelers. So
I guess
I get it. They're the team that drafted him. He spent more time there. He had more
fun in Pittsburgh. Let's be real.
Yeah. His only shot at ever even making it to the playoffs. He actually made it to the playoffs, but lost
to the Browns
with Pittsburgh
to the Browns.
Yeah. To the Browns. Well, with Pittsburgh.
That's rough,
but he never even made it with the Browns. So, yeah, I think he has a fond memory of both teams, hence the tattoo that he got. That's a split team tattoo, half Browns, half Steelers. So
hopefully Larry Ogunjobi doesn't get one of those, because there's not enough splitting going on between all these AFC North teams he's on.
Yeah, right. 3-way split. After this year, maybe he'll go play with the Ravens. You never know.
Who knows?
let's get on to this injury list, and then we can start talking about the Browns roster and who they've got and who's healthy and what's going on there, because it seems like they have a pretty extensive list of injuries going on.
They do. They absolutely do. And all of those guys, minus 2 of them, limited practice or not participating in practice today, which is not bode well for them. But Steelers specifically first, let's start. Devin Bush with the foot injury was still limited practice on Monday, but did fully practice on Tuesday and Wednesday today with an unspecified game status. And then Minkah Fitzpatrick, lower leg cramps. He was limited in practice today, still unspecified for his game status as well. I expect them both to play. Devin Bush, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't start him. I wouldn't be. Only because, I don't know. To me, Devin Bush hasn't solidified his starting role. I still agree. I believe that. I know that obviously he's number 1 on the depth chart. That's solidifying it, this and that. But I think that Pittsburgh's still waiting for him to prove that he's worth it. And I think Robert Spillane has an opportunity to show up.
Yeah. They did mention in an interview this week that the reason that Spillane has been starting in Dime, which is a one middle linebacker grouping of personnel, is that his communication skills are excellent. So he's out there and everybody knows exactly where they're supposed to be when they're in Dime, and he's a central part of that. So he's definitely showing his abilities above the neck and showing his willingness to thump somebody in the run game. He's very, very smart, and we'll see where this goes. You know, Devin Bush hasn't splashed. He also hasn't looked bad. I think he's just been adequate, which is actually an improvement over last year, because he had a lot of bad games last year.
Agreed.
So I'm not as far down as a lot of people are on Devin Bush right now, just because I feel like he has improved his play from last season, but it's not the where, like, at the end of the year, I'm going to say, oh my God, give him a 5-year extension. No, I think if anything, at the end of the year, you know, he's probably not getting, 1-2 years, like you're saying, and probably no more than like $3 to $5 million a year, because he didn't earn the big payday yet.
Yep.
So got to see more from him. This is a real good opportunity right here.
Absolutely. Looking at the Cleveland Browns injuries. Let's start off. I'm going to go out of order from what this says. I want to go offense first, specifically offensive line. You got Joel Bitonio with bicep injury, did not participate Monday or Tuesday with limited participation today. You had Jack Coughlin with a knee injury, limited participation all week. Chris Hubbard, offensive tackle, was just sick and did not participate Monday with limited practice Tuesday and Wednesday. These are their top three offensive linemen right there.
Hubbard,
yeah, it's fair.
Hubbard's like a top backup tackle. But yeah, that's your starting left guard, your starting right tackle. So
yeah,
that's pretty big.
Very important. So very interesting to see what's going to happen there. And then you also have on offense, Harrison Bryant, the tight end with a thumb and thigh injury, both probably not linked together. I'd be concerned if they were and confused as how that happened, but did not participate on Monday with limited participation on Tuesday and then fully participated today. So I expect him to be a go for tomorrow night.
So a couple things on this so far. Jack Conklin, my understanding is he did not play the first two games because he was that injured. That's probably where the Hubbard injury comes into play, but they're expecting him to play in this one. Doesn't look like he's anywhere near 100% yet. Also, Jesse James, who's not on this list, is expected to miss this game.
Yep.
So I'm not
former sure Steelers tight end.
Injury is. Yeah, I'm not sure what the injury is, but there's something going on there that he's not expected to play also. Bitonio, that could be big because obviously he's going to be going one-on-one against
Cam Hayward. Nice jersey, bro.
Cam Hayward. So thanks, bro. So I think that is going to be significant because if he's not 100%, that's something that you might see Cam Hayward be able to take advantage of.
Fun fact, passed a building or a house today. I shouldn't even say a house. I passed the front side of a house that is all a Texas ranch, and the gate that they had shut had a big Steelers sign on it. And I was like, oh, nice. I wonder if they listen to podcasts.
You should have thrown one of our business cards.
If I had one on me, I would have. Absolutely. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball here. Two defensive injuries, not including one technically, so three. All of them are on the defensive line. One, Jadeveon Clowney with an ankle injury, did not participate all week and is already listed out. That is phenomenal. That is great news for us. And Isaiah Thomas, another defensive end with a hand injury, but was full participation all week. I expect him to be a go. And then Miles Garrett was also just added to an injury list today and uncertain if he is going to go or not. So,
yeah, there's some skepticism there. They called it a neck injury, which can be kind of scary. Hopefully for his sake, it's not a significant injury. You don't ever want to hear somebody have a significant neck injury.
Yeah, we all saw the one Monday night. That wasn't fun.
Yeah, dude, what? I got opinions on that. Now you just set me off. So here we go.
Here we go.
Tremaine Edmonds should be embarrassed by himself. Tremaine Edmonds.
Edmonds, yeah.
That was one of the biggest attempts at a absolute dirty cheap shot at an opponent who was already on the ground and tackled and missed him and dang near paralyzed his teammate doing it. He should be absolutely embarrassed. I don't know how he kept on playing, honestly.
Like, I don't know
either. Do you have any conscience at all? You almost just paralyzed your teammate because you were worried about taking a cheap shot at somebody. Wow, man.
It was a bad one. It was a bad one for sure.
Ugly. Yeah. I've never seen somebody's head bent back that far on their neck.
No, even Ryan Shazier's, because his was a straight shot. His neck did no bending. That was a
back
bad.
Of his helmet hit his back.
That was a like, bad one.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that before. That was gross.
No, that was not a good injury at all.
Opportunity for Pittsburgh here because the pass rush on the exterior for the Cleveland Browns is banged up, to be real. Jadeveon Clowney, one of their two starting outside edge rushers, and then the other one being Miles Garrett. So one's out, the other one's injured. And then one of their backups, Isaiah Thomas, injured. So they're going to be limping through this game a little bit on the edges. which might give us an opportunity maybe to try to push those edges with some toss, some sweeps, a little more play to the tight ends. Maybe some of those tight end screens can come back into play a little bit.
Yep.
That was very effective week one against the Bengals. I would love to see it again here against the Browns. So real opportunity there to expose some weaknesses due to injury. And then again, with that offensive line, whomever the backup right tackle will be, whether it be Hubbard playing out there or whether Conklin limps out there on one leg, he always had a hell of a time trying to block TJ Watt. And I know it's not TJ out there, but we have seen Alex Highsmith flip from side to side. I think a healthy Alex Highsmith versus a hobbled Jack Conklin is advantage Pittsburgh.
Or a backup, either one.
Yeah.
Either one. Time to look at this depth chart for the Cleveland Browns and talk about it real quick, real smooth, like, and then we'll go over our three keys to success to beating the Browns on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. No, that was not an ad. That was just facts. Amazon, if you're listening, we will take revenue for that. Please let us know.
Yeah.
quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. Now, this guy, I've talked about him already. Jacoby Brissett is an underrated quarterback. I will stand by that firmly for a very long time. If he didn't get injured playing us in the year that he took over for Andrew Luck, there is very good potential that he is in the discussion for MVP. Not even going to lie. Jacoby Brissett was having a phenomenal... Look up the stats, James. Look up the stats.
MVP's a little strong, bro.
Look up the stats, James. I'll look it up while you're talking about somebody. Jacoby Brissett was having a phenomenal year, and Jacoby Brissett has always played well for the teams that he's played for, even as a backup. And then obviously they have Josh Dobbs backing him up. Josh Dobbs being the former Pittsburgh Steelers rocket scientist, literally. It's a good quarterback crew. I'm still happy there's no Deshaun Watson, but at the same time, I almost wish he was in there because I think there's a chance that, I think we're going to get some sacks either way, hopefully. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so far this season, week one, Jacoby Brissett struggled mightily against the Carolina Panthers. Week two, he was drastically better until the game was on the line and then threw an interception directly to the defender with no receivers around at all. So hopefully we can lean on that lack of clutch factor that he has there and get a couple turnovers off of him maybe. So we'll see, but I am nowhere near as... is interested in pumping up Jacoby Brissett as Cody is.
That is A-okay. He played. I'm trying to figure out when this was. Maybe not MVP.
So it sticks out that much, huh?
2019. Sticks out that much. No, I just had to organize it a little bit differently. 2019. Okay, maybe not MVP, but he was having a good season.
I don't doubt that. Just MVP was a little strong, buddy.
That's fair. I mean, he played in 15 games. He was 7-8. Completed 60% of his passes. He threw for almost 3,000 yards, just under 3,000 yards. 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
That's a good ratio.
It actually is. It's better than some.
Better than a lot. 3-1 is good.
Yeah, better than a lot.
Yeah.
But again, his QB rating on the 2019, I don't know. He's only sacked 27 times, which is still kind of a lot. But he also had 2 fourth quarter comebacks that were, 2 game winning drives. He was playing very well that year. 7-8 doesn't sound that great, but when you think about the Colts back
it's
then,
because it's losing.
Well, that's true. I can't remember when he took over. I'm assuming week two, three.
Him splashing a little bit.
He
that
did.
Year.
And since then he hasn't done super well, but he's getting better. So I don't know.
Speaking of getting better, the Browns running game is really the thing that Pittsburgh needs to be most concerned about. That starts with Nick Chubb, but does not end with Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt, a very talented individual as well. And then D'Ernest Johnson ran all over Pittsburgh last year. So really it doesn't matter which one of these running backs is in the game. You need to pay a very large amount of attention to them because they are all dangerous. The tight end group, David Njoku and Jesse James, is listed as the number two. And
well, they have two. They have a two tight end. They have a two tight end starter.
Yeah, so Harrison Bryant is listed as like a co-starter, which is kind of weird.
Very weird.
But yeah,
I believe Harrison Bryant is more. Harrison Bryant is their number one. I think he's a better blocker than David Njoku.
No, He might be a better blocker, but there's no way he's a better receiver than Njoku.
It's fair. But I think he's the number one normally for them. I'm pretty sure.
Njoku just got like a huge extension, okay, bro. Okay,
well, whatever.
It was like $10 million a year or something. Was it? Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
Still something for Pittsburgh to notice. There's definitely some talent on the tight end group.
Absolutely.
So very important that Miles Jack and Devin Bush pay very close attention, know exactly where these guys are. Need a good game out of Terrell Edmonds again. He did get a nice pass breakup, as you mentioned, in last week's game. Maybe we can get two this week. Who knows? Maybe we can get a pick out of him this week. He does that a couple times a year.
Or twice in one game and then never again.
A couple times a year. Yeah.
Whatever. Wide receivers, they have Amari Cooper, big name from Dallas, Donovan Peoples-Jones. You also have Anthony Schwartz, who's pretty quick, David Bell. And then Michael
Woods. Not quick.
No, not at all. Michael Woods II and Demetric Felton Jr. None of these guys scare me, but at the same time, if our defense plays as lax and off the line and give them as much space in these zone coverage that we're doing that we did last week, it's not going to end pretty.
Yeah, so it's a good size group. You don't really have a lot of midgets in this group.
No. Oh my gosh. Donovan Peoples-Jones is what? 6'2"?
He's a big dude, isn't he? Yeah, I want to say he's like 6'3", 215, something like that.
Yeah, he's big 6'2". Amari Cooper's
small either. Yeah. Yeah, and then I think David Bell's a bigger receiver. He's just like a 4'7 flat guy. Yeah. He's not fast
Anthony
at all.
Schwartz is 6 even. David Bell's 6'1". Michael Woods, you're looking at 6'1", who's a rookie. And then Felton Jr. Is, I believe, the shortest guy, 5'9". He's probably their returner.
Yeah. Yeah, and they probably won't even play realistically. Most teams don't get into their fifth and sixth wide receivers very often, if at all.
Yeah.
But good high point skills from these guys, and Schwartz is extremely fast, so you got to watch out for them trying to stretch the field or doing trick plays with him.
Yep. I don't remember where he got drafted, but he didn't always play for the Browns. I can't remember where he was before. Cardinals?
Really?
Was he Cardinals?
I thought the Browns just drafted him a couple of years ago.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of someone different. They did. You're right.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's only 2 years in the league.
Who am I? I'm thinking of somebody totally different. Never mind. Ignore me. I know who I was thinking of now, and it's not even close, so I'm not going to bring it up. Offensive line, Jedrick Wills Jr. He's probably their best offensive lineman. No, excuse me. Probably Wyatt Teller, who isn't injured. It's probably between those two guys, Jedrick Wills Jr. and Wyatt Teller, both very good left tackle, right guard. And then Joel Bitonio is the only left guard listed. So that's just interesting. If he's out, who's going in? Probably Froholt.
And most teams just don't list one backup offensive lineman in multiple positions.
That's
so
true.
Most likely either the backup center, Michael Dunn, or the backup right guard, Hijati Froholt, one of the two of them is capable of playing left guard, I'm sure. But yeah, there's some names and then there's some big drop offs. So I asked probably four or five Browns fans this year that follow the team pretty closely.
Yeah.
Who was going to start at center after Nick Harris went down in the preseason, and none of them could give me a name. So there's not a lot of confidence in Ethan Pochich, the starting center. Not even one Browns fan I've talked to yet could even list who he was.
Yeah.
I would say watch out for both of the guards to probably have to constantly be looking at them to try to help them, and that might give some opportunity. So hopefully we run a lot of stunts and twists on the inside, because with some new pieces in there, you might be able to cause some confusion and get some pressure up the middle.
Yeah, absolutely. With that being said, Jack Conklin is the only guy we didn't talk about so far, but he's also on the injury list, so is Chris Hubbard. There's a potential that Joe Haig gets the start. I doubt it. I doubt it, but you never know. Joe Haig.
Did you see they gave him like a 3-year extension at $3 or $4 million a year or something?
Yep. Joe Haig, the previous Pittsburgh Steeler player as well. Onto the defensive side of the ball. Looking at the defensive line, Myles Garrett, who's obviously on the injured list right now, potentially not playing. Chase Winovich, if I'm not mistaken, is also on the injury list. I don't remember if we talked about him on the injury list or not, but I think
he wasn't showing on the list that we had, but yeah. He is injured from what I understand and out.
Yeah. So Isaiah Thomas is their third string left defensive end who could potentially getting the start. On the other side, Jadeveon Clowney's out. So you're looking at potentially Alex Wright. So they could be on their last two defensive ends potentially. So that would be exciting. And then looking interior wise, Jordan Elliott and Taven Bryan are the two starters on the inside, defensive line wise.
Yeah, so hopefully they push the edges a little bit here. I'll be interested to watch Perry and Winfrey in this game. If you guys remember pre-draft, I was real big on him, a skilled pass rusher from the interior. So if he gets some playing time, it's very important that whichever interior offensive lineman that lines opposite him gets hands on. I wouldn't even be surprised if they use him on the outside with the lack of depth that they've got going on there with all the injuries.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at the linebackers, you got the big name, in my opinion, specifically, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He was a guy that we were big on the draft 2 years ago now. And of course, Cleveland had to draft him. He's the Will linebacker, the Mike linebacker, Anthony Walker Jr. And then you also have Sloane Takitaki.
Sione Takitaki.
Sione, my apologies.
Sione. So Sione's the strong side. He'll be lining up opposite the tight end 9 times out of 10, where Owusu-Koramoah is the weak side. We'll be lining up on the opposite side. So the key here is run power at Owusu-Koramoah because he's only about 215, 220 pounds. Really small for a linebacker. So if you can isolate one-on-ones with him, even like Derek Watt should have no problem pancaking him on a regular basis. So that's really the opportunity there. Don't run at the strong side, run at the weak side this week. That's definitely something where even if he end up Najee one-on-one with him, he should be able to truck him more often than not.
Should. And then in my personal opinion, the strength of this team defensive-wise is their safe secondaries. Secondary unit, as per usual, recently at least, especially with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney probably being out, that defensive back room is definitely the scariest thing on the defense. Denzel Ward, Greg Newsome, the two starting corners. You also have AJ Green, Martin Emerson Jr. back there. And then the safeties, Grant Delpit and John Johnson III, are both very good players. Grant Delpit's only been in the league 3 years, but has been playing fairly well and is a potential fumble causer, big hitter kind of guy. I don't know. Got to take them seriously for sure.
So big story with them last week. The names are tremendous. Lots of first and second round guys here, but lots of blown coverages the last couple weeks. If you saw any of the highlights from last week's game, wide receivers running wide open with no defensive backs anywhere near them, scoring long touchdowns. Which is how the Browns ended up losing that game. It was the secondary that cost the game for them. So you have to imagine they've been getting an earful all week and are going to be anxious to prove themselves to be more worthy than what their performance on the field was. Because this is big pedigree guys, and most of them have had good games previously. Definitely Denzel Ward's the one to watch out for. He's had some real big games against Pittsburgh in the past.
Yeah. James, you want to go over this special teams unit?
Absolutely, yes. So we're going to start off with the kicker, Cade York, very accurate field goal kicker. Was a draft pick. He's a rookie for the Browns. Smart move on their part to go ahead and draft somebody who's going to be a starter. Also, he had a 58-yard game-winning kick for them against the Panthers week one. So kid's got a strong leg. Punter is Corey Bjorquez. Never heard of him before.
Nope.
Long snapper. They don't have it listed. Hold on up. There it is. Charlie Hewlett.
Cool.
Because long snappers matter, as the Bengals found out.
Yep. Yeah, they did. Then we got kick return and punt return.
Jerome Ford on kick return. Dimitri Felton Jr.
on punt return.
On the punt return.
Absolutely. So that's
going to hit your three keys to success for this game first, and I'll go second this week because I did first last week.
Yeah, let's do. Yeah, because I did first the first week.
Stole one of yours.
I switched it. I made it work.
You cringed when I said my first one. I was like, oh, I just took one of his.
You did, and I will try to consistently not do the same ones. Even if I had them down, I'll try to think of something else. My three keys to success: first off, is get the offense moving. Get the offense sustaining drives, no three and outs, and getting in the end zone. That is one whole thing. Sustain a drive, get in the end zone, and do it consistently. Number two, we need to stop the Browns' rushing attack. We saw us week one, we were very good against the run. Week two, not so much. Week three, we need to bring it back and play better against the run because this team could run all over us potentially if we do not stop them. And then number three, I almost said number four. Number three is we need to limit mistakes. We can't be having the mental errors of the turnover with the muffed punt. We can't be having the mental errors of holding or whatever on third and long and get pushed back to third and longer. We can't have the mental errors that cause teams the end of drives, that cause them field position. We can't have those things happen. So consistent drives, get in the end zone, stop the run game, and no mental errors. Those are my three keys to success against the Browns.
Excellent. Excellent. I agree with those. I've got three different ones ready for you.
Let's go.
Number one, must pressure the quarterback. We did not get anywhere near enough pressure last week, and that bit us in the behind. Zero sacks is something you cannot have and expect to win in the NFL, especially against the best quarterback that Cody's ever seen play, Jacoby Brissett.
So good.
So got to definitely get some pressure on Jacoby and force some mistakes there. And then number two, throw the ball to George. George Pickens standing wide open way too often the first 2 weeks.
90% of the time.
He's an extremely skilled wide receiver, great after the catch and making people miss, great blocker. You're going to start see him get bored and frustrated if he doesn't get the ball thrown to him once in a while. So I would highly encourage throwing it to him at least five or six times. I bet you he catches four or five of those balls if you do and actually make it catchable instead of 10 yards away from him like we saw last week.
Yep.
My third one, win the turnover battle. You win the turnover battle and you oftentimes win the game. Very important until we get this offense really rolling that we control what we can and win the turnover battle. So you know certain guys are going to do their part in it, right? We know the contributions that we've been getting out of Minkah Fitzpatrick the first 2 weeks. You can't expect him to get an interception every single week. So other people got to step up and help out.
But it would be nice. With that 17 being
interceptions
said,
would be a record.
That would be phenomenal. With that being said, that is going to end the show today, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. We're growing our family on Facebook. We're growing our family on YouTube. We're growing it all the way across the board. Join the family. And wave those terrible towels, James. Wave it. Again, we can't thank you guys enough. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.